Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name is John, and this week we'll be talking to Jinwei Zhang and Venki Kandaswamy, the co-founders of ReFiRx, an online lending marketplace. Please hit subscribe to keep up with this and the latest in FinTech news. Okay, let's get started. With me is my co-host, Steve.
Hey, John, good to be here.
And the co-founders of ReFiRx, Jinwei Zhang and Venki Kandaswamy. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, why don't you tell us what is ReFiRx?
ReFiRx is an algorithmic-based online mortgage lending place platform. So our goal is put you in charge of your life and put your loan in your own hands.
Okay, so you can get a loan online. How is that different from other lending marketplaces?
What we try to do is solve two main problems. The first one, you always need more time to shop and compare loans.
Yeah, and with mortgages, that's with a mortgages, big deal. Very time consuming.
Yeah, Americans average only spend 5 hours to shop for mortgages. And if they do spend the 5 hours, they could save about $145K for the lifetime of the loan. But if you don't have a time, then you don't get that. And once, if you try to shop online with current lead generators, and you get hundreds of robocalls, that's what you don't really want.
Because they're using your information to sell as marketing collateral?
Yes, exactly. They sell your information to lenders, brokers. As soon as you fill up your information, your phone starts to ring immediately.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what you're trying to do here is basically create the Credit Karma equivalent for mortgage lending, which, as you say, is a market that's rife with, you know, very inefficient data mining processes and all that kind of stuff. But I'm wondering, how are you utilizing data to make this a very compelling product for users?
Yeah, so like Jinwei was saying, it's an auction model, and we are collecting information from both sides of the market. We get information about the lenders and brokers that are bidding on the applications, and also the borrowers who are actually creating these applications. And based on the big data, there are two domains. One is data that's available in the public domain, and the other is the information that we collect on our own platform. Using the public domain data, we can actually suggest to borrowers what's the best loan they can get. And it's not always the lowest interest rate and lowest fee, because if you're going to keep your mortgage for 3 years, then you might want to go with a higher interest rate and get some leverage on the closing costs, et cetera. And then we use the data that we accumulate on our system to help the lenders reach their financial goals and tailor the offerings so that they can meet their objectives. Now, for example, if you want to hit a certain target, you want to retailer the market you're going after. Maybe you go after higher priced homes or lower interest rate, or different terms, and we can do that. And that is part of our learning that they can experience in our system. And also we monitor the timing of the market and suggest to borrowers when it's appropriate to go for a refinance or a new loan. So these are all information that we collect and use intelligent algorithms to tailor these offerings.
How many pieces of information do you collect per customer to make this a very tailored to make it a very tailored offer?
So the customer is giving us all of their liability and their net worth information. So we have enough information to say how much an individual is worth and what are their liabilities and the debt they're having. So that's the information we collect from the borrower side. Lender side, we have information about how they're closing loans, the percentage of loans they're closing, how long it takes them to close, et cetera. So we get all of that information.
Yeah, just want to add one thing. So for the borrower side, we basically collect all the information that a lender needed to actually processing a loan. So we're basically based on the current application form, all those information. So we collect them, but we keep them secured.
Oh, but and it's a two-way street. So you go on the site, you say that you want a mortgage, and then lenders can bid for your business, but you can go ahead and look at the products they're offering as well.
Oh, definitely. And we connect you to the lender who think you are the potential customer. And you can reveal all the bids. They are all open. And the lender can reveal each other's bids too. So all the bids are open on the platform, but your identity and the lender's identity are masked. So you don't get to know which lender gave you this bid, and the lender did not know what's your name. Lenders do not need to know your name is John Smith to give you a code. So they don't need that information. So that case, we created this competitive market because those bids are open and transparent.
Interesting. So what advantage does this give to a lender as opposed to going through the regular channels?
They get to access a lot of more market than from the regular channel. For example, let's say a traditional bank, Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has access of their customer, people who bank with them. Do you think Wells Fargo can access people bank with Bank America? Probably not.
Yep.
It's very hard for them to convert people who bank in Bank America to get on their platform to get a loan. Yeah, but what we can do is Wells Fargo can bid with Bank America's customer. And if you are better than Bank America, you'll get the business.
Interesting. So it's just a way to kind of broaden the channel strategy for the banks as well. And then I'm assuming that you're going to pull data from maybe, you know, to use my example here, from my full financial picture from all the, you know, the banks and institutions where I have funds as well. Is that part of your model too, where you can pull in data from these data aggregators?
Yes, we can. We have a two channel. One is pulling data directly from your bank if you want to link it. Another one is you can just input the information and upload your statement. We have to have both channel because we have to accommodate some people value their privacy so much and they don't really want link their banking to other platform. We value that.
Got it. Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. But we do have an API can build directly to pull data from your banking information, your investment information, and later on we're going to build it to pull directly your tax information.
So it's cheaper for the bank as far as a customer acquisition for their non-customers, because otherwise they have to spend a lot on advertising and getting people in that don't normally bank with a large bank. And then also it's more efficient because you're handling and automating a lot of the data transfer instead of doing paper forms and operations, getting the data into their system. They can just interface through your API.
That's correct. So we create our efficient in two ways. One is when the borrower fill up their profile information, we can use those information to populate mortgage application form automatically for the bank. Another side is what we can do is if a bank want to bid on maybe 100 customer with the same profile, they can do it in one click. They don't have to send up 500 estimate.
Yeah, it's all automated. You know, it seems like a mortgage marketplace, it seems like something that would already exist, but there's nothing like this where you can go on and lenders can make their offers to you, is there?
That's correct. Nowadays, there are three different, like a couple different players on the market, full-time banks. Some of the bank hold the loan. Some of the bank will sell the loan to the secondary market. And a big brokers, like a quick loan, the biggest broker in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And they hire a lot of individual brokers. Those individual brokers will call you. They actually compete among themselves. You will get a 5 phone call from 5 different brokers who are all working for quick loan. And they actually can give you a better term if you negotiate it hard, but you don't know that. And then you have a digital, online digital broker like SoFi, Multi, you know, they're getting really big. And they started to have their own money. They more and more started to become a lender. And then you have a lot of startup do the software side, like the Blend and some other processing software, which they help lender to make the process smooth and the underwriting process smooth. But what we try to do is we take care of the mortgage broker's job. So we take an application form and we digitize it. We can integrate with the backend database of the bank. And we can take care of the document transfer and the communication between the underwriter and the borrower. Then we can integrate our system with the bank's backend existing system, the underwriting system, which we don't do that part. We just do the front end broker part.
Yeah, it sounds like it reminds me of how fintechs are rebundling and offering more and more services. So if they wanted to expand into the mortgage space, they could plug into your system and start offering and have a pretty quickly then.
That is correct. I see, one of the things is that there are a lot of people, a lot of smaller banks and smaller providers that are integrating off-the-shelf software as a service software, but then it's only unique to them. They're white labeled onto their product. In our case, they don't need to white label this product. They just get on our platform and just bid for the applications and bid for the loans. So it does give a lot of freedom for them to work across a large section of potential borrowers.
I want to add one thing on what the banky just said. So the real estate market are mainly along the coastline, well, plus Texas. And the cheap money are not on the coastline. You could get like cheap money from the center of a part of America who have like lenders who has money who want to access a really hot real estate market along the coastline, but they don't have the network, they don't have the marketing there, so they can't get customers. And we can help those lenders from the middle part of America to access the hot real estate market along the coastline and provide the borrower more choices. So we kind of just open up this channel for all the potential lenders.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way. So you could have some small bank in Arkansas or Oklahoma or somewhere, and mm-hmm. they end up having the best offer for you. Well, what are the, I'm always afraid, I should say, of compliance type of issues and regulators and, you know, with the 50 states here, it's always a pain. How is that a challenge or not for you guys?
We are in our process to get a mortgage broker license for Refund RX in California. We're going to start in California. We're going to go to all other 50 states afterwards. I got my mortgage broker license, my personal one, but we needed to get the company license. So we're in the process of getting licensed. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 happened and everything stopped. But as soon as the government reopens, we're going to move forward with licensing. But we will be a licensed mortgage broker. The reason we needed to be licensed is because we are handling your personal information. Like we are handling like your credit, we are handling your income, W-2 tax return. We need to be licensed, we need to be regulated. I am okay with that.
Interesting. So it sounds like you're sort of in the earlier stages now, but I'm wondering, you know, we're in the middle of this lockdown right now with a lot of the regulations. You know, you're unable essentially to meet a lot of the regulations. Seems like things are not moving. How are you handling sort of launching a startup in the middle of a crisis?
It has been tough, I have to say. So we are currently doing our sixth round of fundraising. And I have to say a lot of VCs with money, and they have to put their money into their current portfolio company, because depend on how the mix are, and a lot of companies are not doing very good because of this lockdown. So they are trying to say which company can be sold and which company they can put the money in to keep them alive through this crisis. People are scared. But our business model is actually, we're going to thrive when the economy is really good. I don't really want to see this happen, but this will happen based on the current situation. Luckily, when we get out of this lockdown, we're going to have an economic downturn. And we're probably going to see some foreclosure on the market. I hope it's not as bad as 2008, but that's probably going to happen. And that's going to have more volume transaction in the market. And also, people were starting to really refinance because the current rates are low. And also, some people might need to pull money out of their equity to spend on day-to-day life. So that's kind of an opportunity for us in the near future, because that actually helps with our business model.
Interesting. So maybe you'll come out of this in a better place, and maybe in a place where you can help people sort out their finances amidst all this economic chaos.
Yeah, that's correct. And people need to take advantage of what they have to ride through the wave. Think about it. So American homeowners lose $13 billion a year by not refinance. So if everyone knows when's a good time to refinance, what they can do, what they can save, if refinance becomes so simple, just a couple of clicks on the phone, you can get it done. And a lot of people would do it. Then they can save a lot more money. They can leverage what they have as equity and ride through the waves. And we would like to be the one help those people.
So you're developing a smart model to match the lenders and the borrowers. So what point are you now? I know you're raising funds. Are you ready for that first beta yet, or?
Yes, I think we have a development team that is well situated and has been working on it for the last 4 months. We have a MVP in beta mode, which is ironing out a few of the bugs. We would have launched by the end of this month, but with this virus situation, we will probably delay it for the next a few weeks. But we are ready with the MVP and demo, and we're actively showing it to prospective investors.
Is it a big challenge, you think, to attract potential borrowers? That sounds like a big marketing push.
I don't think so. No, if you think about it, I am a borrower myself. I just happened to have just bought a home last week. I closed on it. Yeah.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And I'm in the process of selling my current home. So the thing is, everybody wants to get the best rate and the best deal. And there are three problems to it. One, you cannot always figure out what is the best deal. You can't go by, like I said before, just the lowest interest rate or things. So you need to have someone help with you to say, what is the best package you can get for how long you want to keep the house and things like that. That's where a mortgage broker traditionally helps. But on the other hand, they're also working in their own interest. And we are trying to subjugate that. The second aspect of it is that how do you know that your lender is not giving you the best terms? So you want to have a open market where you can access maybe banks in the Midwest, you know, that are willing to compete for your business. And also the third thing is there may be time constraints. And how even those people might give me the best rate and best offer, I want to have somebody who can actually see this loan through in 21 days, because that is the contingency I have on my my offer to the buyer of the home. So all of these things are important. And once we understand what the borrower wants, we can actually tailor that offering to them and pick the correct lenders and the bids. So that's where I think we will really be attracting the borrowers. Because if you want to do all of this that I just said today, you probably have to make a bunch of phone calls to people and repeat the same information over and over again. And then you still don't know if they're going to play by the rules and get you what you want. So I believe we are well situated to attract borrowers. With the convenience of being online and not being bothered by phone calls, et cetera, you put the information once and you've stated clearly what you need, and people are just going to offer you, if they can, what's the best deal they can give you.
Sort of like an online lending dating service.
Yes. You both need to swipe right.
Right. Only if you swipe, if you both swipe right, then you'll see each other. Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you keep swipe left, you don't get bothered. You won't have stalkers.
And this is anonymous, which is good for me. I do much better when people don't see my picture.
I don't know. You can, get a better looking picture.
So yeah, anonymous is a big advantage for a lot of reasons, right?
It is. I was going to say that I try to refinance, or rather, I'm in the process of refinancing my home now. I'm almost being done with the process, or I'm almost finished with it. But I made the mistake of putting my email address, my sort of secondary junk email address, in an online form. And I get emails maybe 3 times a week or so asking me, hey, do you want to refinance still from random brokers? So I definitely understand the appeal of having a trusted marketplace where I can just transact in this, get a good rate, and just go through with it without actually having to give away my email address and have everyone just bombard me with spammy emails.
Right. And it may not be even offers that you really are interested in. See, I get calls from when I tried to refinance like 5 years ago. I still get calls and I still get emails. It just doesn't go away once you have given that information to a bunch of brokers.
Yeah. If it's out there, it's just out there in the ether, right? Absolutely. Yeah. So you mentioned that you're launching in California. Is there a strategy where, are you guys thinking of which states to go after first? Is it a matter of size or just the states with the easiest barriers of entry from a mortgage lender perspective?
Be honest, it's a pretty high barrier entry almost for everyone. And we're going to start with California. The reasons are, one, California has a big real estate market. So there are a lot of transactions going on. Second, we live here. So the VCs are here and we live here and we understand the market. And I have a lot of offline connections to real estate brokers, who is the biggest help for mortgage brokers, because they get their majority referral from real estate brokers. That said, that's very interesting. So we're going to try to recruit our first 100 borrowers offline from existing channels, from our existing network, and then go on to online marketing. The reasons are because we try to test our product first, make sure it fits the market correctly. We might have to adjust a couple of things, color fonts, I don't know what that's going to be. Then we will do a broad launch into states like Texas, Florida, and potentially New York, because that four states, including California, are the majority real estate transaction happening in U.S. Then we're going to broad launch into the rest of 50 states. But we do need a license per state. So we're going to concentrate on one state at a time.
Slow and steady wins the race, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Eventually, you want to expand into not just mortgages, but for autos, personal loans, and other lending, right?
Yeah, auto, student loan, personal loans. The reasons are because actually all those loans are looking at the same, exactly same information. Your credit, your income, your liability, and your net worth. There's nothing more and nothing less that they need. So you don't have to put the same information in four times if you need to buy a house, you need to buy a car, you need to get a student loan, and you need to get a personal loan. So that can just all come through your profile.
Okay, and then you just get a small fee for every successful matching?
Yes, that's correct. We'll get a much smaller fee than currently what mortgage brokers get.
Yeah, so what is the typical charge that a mortgage broker takes?
1% of a total amount of a loan.
Oh, that's not bad. Maybe I should be doing that. And then you guys would be doing like a fixed fee or?
We'll try to just charge a quarter of what a current mortgage broker charge, like 0.25%. And the saving, if we work directly with lender, we gotten to really have the 0.75% back to the borrower. If we work with a broker, they probably happy to share part of their profit with us. And overall, every single money saved are going back to the borrower. You know, borrowers are paying for all of those fees. So what we can save is what we save for the borrower.
That's interesting. So this is kind of similar to the way in which, you know, Redfin has been trying to kind of break apart the real estate agent market as well by offering homes, you know, through their sellers and kind of charging lower commissions. But it seems like they've had very limited success, I would say, at least in my area now in the Bay Area. But I'm wondering, are there any other similar maybe associations of mortgage bankers that would be opposed to this and think maybe derail your product?
I think this is different than real estate because real estate is an emotional process. The point of have a real estate broker, they can actually help you going through because your connection with the house is very emotional. But your connection with money is not emotional. So that's no difference.
Speak for yourself. Between,
so that's no difference between the money from Wells Fargo, the money from Bank of America. They are exactly same product. You see what I mean? So
Yeah, that's true.
So people have no loyalty there.
If that should whoever be your can tagline. RefiRX, there's no loyalty there.
There's no loyalty there. There's no loyalty going into financial lending. There's no loyalty there. And people will grab the best rate, best term for them and over their loyalty to any lender, any broker, anything else. But for real estate, it's different. You can't compare a house and the neighbor's house like it's an apple to orange comparison. And sometimes you need advice, sometimes you need a connection, you need people help you to work through every single step. But it's not the same thing with mortgage. It's not the same thing.
Right. I wonder whether it makes sense for you guys to maybe focus on the refinance market before you go into the first mortgage market. Have you thought about which one would make more sense? Because I do think that, although as you say, there's not a lot of loyalty there, I think it's much more transactional to go through that refinancing process than your first time mortgage process, especially as a first time home buyer.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you because for refinance, you have a lot of time to sit there and thinking about it, compare it, and you're just much more flexible with your time. And with first-time home buyers, sometimes they kind of get the mortgage become part of the real estate deal. So it's become emotional. And for refinance, there's not really an emotional process. You're basically leaving your house. You have some time, you have some needs, and you will do it. You want to spend this amount of time and get the best offer you have. So what we can do is we save your money, we save your time. We save money and save time for both borrower and lenders.
Got Got it. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a good idea when you think, doesn't that exist already? Shouldn't there already be like an automated marketplace in 2020? But yeah, there's not. So I think you're onto something here for sure.
It actually, when you see the demo and we walk you through the application, it gives you a very concrete feel of how this is going to work.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, good luck to you guys. Yeah, like I said, it sounds like a great idea. It seems to make things more efficient and cheaper. So that's it's a great combination. Thank you guys for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, and if you guys can help us with maybe more lenders as the partners, and we would also love that.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Okay, yeah, that'll be great. Thank you.
All right. That was Jinwei Zhang and Venki Kandaswamy, co-founders of Refi RX, an online, for now, mortgage marketplace. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And thanks for listening.
Thanks all.